Welcome to session 2 of our 4-part series on discovering spiritual disciplines. In our first session on the spiritual discipline of prayer as communication, I talked about how we can listen to God, beginning with but not limited to Scripture, hearing God speak through nature, through hearing the voice of God in others, through journaling, and through mysterious ways amid ordinary activity or in the quiet of contemplation. We then turn to the speaking dimension of prayer as communication, speaking from the heart with unreserved honesty through intercessory prayer. So let's move on to the second aspect of the discipline of prayer. Prayer as communion. When I talk about prayer as communion, I mean that dimension of our relationship with God that goes beyond words, images, or actions. Just as listening and speaking are the primary expressions of prayer as communication, contemplation is the foremost expression of prayer as communion. Contemplative prayer is often described as resting in God. It is the experience of being present only to the moment, unconscious of time. Words fall away. When they fall away, we are in the most palpable reality of being present to God, the ultimate lover of our souls. When we become quiet before God, the Spirit is free to fill and move us as God wills. Here's an illustration of contemplation, once recounted by a Protestant pastor who had just returned from a contemplative prayer retreat at a monastery. He confessed to his son that he didn't really understand how the monks could sit for hours in the chapel before the reserved host, consecrated bread that represents the presence of Christ. His son, whose wife had just given birth to their first child, thought for a moment and responded, "You know, Dad, I think I understand. Since our newborn arrived, I just go to her crib and look at her. She doesn't have to do a thing. She doesn't even have to be awake. I am so utterly fascinated just by being with her that I don't know where the time goes." This father experienced contemplation in its natural sense. Deep contemplation draws us momentarily into an eternal realm that transcends time. In deep Christian contemplation, words fall away. When we let go of our effort to speak or listen, the Spirit is free to work its work, allowing us to be loved by God into wholeness. Let me be clear. This communication with God I describe is not an end in itself. We don't enter into contemplative prayer in order to become better servants of God. That is a natural side effect. The sole purpose of contemplation is to be with, enjoy, and glorify God and experience His divine love. The first article of the Westminster Shorter Catechism sums this idea up well. It asks, "What our chief end is as human beings?" The response, that we are to glorify and enjoy God forever. No doubt there are many forms of contemplative prayer, far too many to cover in our time together today. Let me offer you 3 basic forms of Christian contemplative prayer that I hope will help draw you into a deeper relationship with God. They are prayer of presence, prayer of the heart, and centering prayer. First, prayer of presence. Prayers of presence ground us in being fully present in that moment. Although in ways this may seem similar to some forms of meditation, our focus is ultimately on our relationship with God. Perhaps it might be helpful to experience a contemplative prayer of presence rather than trying to explain it more. Let's give it a try. First, close your eyes and take a few deep breaths. consciously release any tension you become aware of. Breathe in peace, breathe out tension and stress. Relax your body, relax your mind. If particular thoughts keep returning, gather them up and give them to God to hold for you during this time. If you wish, you can take them back later. Let's turn your attention to God's presence by recalling a special time in your past. Remember what it was like being in the lap of your parent or grandparent when you were very young. How it felt to be close to and loved by them for just who you are. Feel Jesus being in that moment with you. The more your parent or grandparent hugs you, the closer Jesus gets. Closer and closer. He's now so close, you can hear his heart beating. Be very still as you hold your hand to your heart to feel it beating with that of Jesus. You can feel his heart beating in time with yours. Be in this moment together. And just a little longer. Give thanks for the love we remembered. And with the comfort that the love of God, like the love we remember, surrounds us always. Take a few deep breaths. And open your eyes. That was an example of a prayer of presence. There's a long history of Christian prayer that aims to move us from head to heart. This means moving from a limited and partial dimension of our lives to the center of our whole being. Prayers of the heart are typified by the use of short phrases. They are repeated first on the lips and then in the mind until they take on a life of their own, deep within us. One of the oldest of these is the Jesus Prayer. It combines the prayer of the tax collector from Luke 18:13, God be merciful to me, a sinner, with the earliest confession of the Christian Church, Jesus is Lord. The long form is Lord Jesus Christ, Son of the living God, have mercy on me, a sinner. The short form is Lord, have mercy. A modern form of the Jesus Prayer is called the Breath Prayer because the words for breath and spirit are the same in Hebrew. A few examples of this type of prayer are, Jesus, show me your love, or Lord Jesus, give me strength. Over time, as we repeat these prayers, the repetition creates spiritual space in which the words tend to fall away, and we become more and more aware of the divine presence of God, with the prayers taking on deeper meaning. Christian mystics throughout the ages have experienced the divine presence of God through prayers of the heart. The third form of contemplative prayer, and probably the best known today, is centering prayer, where prayers of presence and prayers of the heart described previously use images and phrases to help carry us into a deeper experience of communion. Centering prayer specifically teaches us to let go of phrases, images, concepts, and emotions. With this type of prayer, a sacred word is typically used that symbolizes our attention to be inwardly receptive to divine presence and action. Some examples: Abba, peace, love, forgiveness. This word is not in any way a focus of our thoughts or feelings. It simply serves as a tool for us to keep our intention directed Godward. The metaphor of a rudder is often used to describe the function of the word used in contemplative prayer. When thoughts come as we pray, and trust me, they will, they're not pushed away. We simply detach from them, returning to our chosen sacred word and letting it carry us back to being with the presence of God. Spurred largely by the writings of Father Thomas Keating and others in the Centering Prayer movement he founded over 25 years ago, this form of prayer was adapted from the 14th century classic spiritual treatise, The Cloud of Unknowing, which has enjoyed a great revival in the Christian contemplative movement. To recap our two sessions on the spiritual dimension of prayer, I talked about prayer as communication, exploring both listening and speaking dimensions of this form of prayer, and prayer as communion, focusing specifically on three forms of contemplative prayer: prayer of presence, prayer of the heart, and centering prayer. With our remaining time, I'd like to talk a little about some practical matters that can impact the discipline of prayer. Developing the habit of regular prayer is like building any new habit into our life. It takes commitment, creativity, and perseverance. So when should we pray? In choosing a time for prayer, it's important to take our personal rhythms into account. Some of us are morning people, some are night owls, and some experience peak energy at midday. Perhaps your praying time is during a morning walk. I hope you'll agree, when we pray, God deserves some of the best time of our day. Let's face it, it's easier to pay attention to God in a place of relative quiet and solitude. For many, this poses a creative challenge. Perhaps it's a nook or cranny in your house that becomes your personal prayer room, that entitles you to quiet and solitude. Experiment. Decide where's my sacred space, and frequent it. Be prepared for distractions and be patient with them. If you try to fight them head on, chances are the attention you give them will make them stronger and harder to resist. Better to simply note that you have wandered from your focus and gently return your attention to God. If you experience persistent, repetitive, and internally distracting or disturbing thoughts, you may want to look a little closer for what it is that God is really telling you. It could be the case that spiritual counseling might be needed. Seek to find balance in the discipline of prayer between listening and speaking, prayers of intercession and supplication and thanksgiving. I am confident the more you give yourself to prayer, the more life you will find in it. Next will be the first of two episodes on the spiritual discipline of silence and solitude. This episode provides a historical context of how the Christian solitude and silence movement came to be, its evolution, and its revival in the 20th century. Until then, may the peace that surpasses understanding be with you.